This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
This episode of Best of the Rest is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with over 200,000 titles to choose from. Go to nerdylegion.com/audible, sign up for a trial membership, and receive 2 free audiobooks. That's audible.com.
It's Best of the Rest. It's time for indie comics. It's time for What Are You Reading?
Yes.
What are you liking? Why do you like it? Whatever we
can. Well, I've been reading quite a bit and liking most of it, too.
So. Oh. So you haven't been paying money for stuff you don't care for?
Not recently. I've been lucky on that.
Oh. Why? Well, you're just not getting more educated such that you know what to pick from the previews? Or are you just falling on your tried and true and not venturing out and being adventurous?
I would like to think that the hour to and a half to 2 hours that I spend pouring through previews every month is helping me discern what I would like to read and what I wouldn't. So.
Oh, so the fate of an indie comic in your realm depends on how well they've written the simple paragraph preview.
Not 100%, but it gives me an idea of what the book is about initially. And then, of course, there's certain creators that I trust. I know that, okay, most of what they write I like, and they usually do a pretty good job, or I like the artist, so that plays into it as well.
Fair enough. So what's been striking your fancy lately?
Well, I've actually got a list here.
Oh, you have a list?
Oh, yeah. I've got 14 books here.
Oh, I didn't know there was homework.
Well, there's not really. This is just what I did. I was just jotting stuff down so I could.
Okay. Well, let's go through your list, and then I'll see if I can add some stuff to it, and I'll see if I'm reading the same things.
No doubt you're probably reading some of this.
Yeah. My life's been kind of hectic lately, so I didn't have time. I'm caught up on most stuff. I just haven't had time to write it down and kind of reflect.
Right. Number one, I'm reading 2 books from Scout Comics right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them hasn't started out yet. First one is The Mall, and it came out as a issue 0 on Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, I skipped that. My LCS could only let me pick up 2 books, and I think I got Relay and the Valiant one.
That sucks. We've got, I think, 5.
Yeah, we only allowed. Yeah, my LCS only allowed you to get 2 books.
You probably don't need the issue 0. I'm not even sure when this starts to come out. I haven't looked, but it came out as part of the first week of May, of course, for New Comic Books Day. The Mall is written by Dan Hanfield and mm-hmm. James Hike III. The artist on it is Rafael Lauriero, colorist Dijo Lima. Not heard of any of those people. And it's set in Fort Myers, Florida in 1984. And there's this young teenage kid named Diego who works at a organ, not a body organ, you know,
no.
Musical instrument organ store.
Oh, like for a baseball park?
Yes. Well, or for houses or churches, whatever. But it's actually a front. It's front for laundering money or illegal transactions. Because he's hooked up with some a local organized crime, and he gets money, but he's also, you know, he's a typical teenager, and he's interested in this girl who dates the high school football jock, and anyway, he comes up with a scheme to start, you know, the kids, this jock is playing video games. He's beating everybody left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And Diego goes up and the girlfriend, she is beside herself because he's paying no attention to her, just hanging out with his friends over the video game. And so Diego is kind of a crafty guy. He goes up to her and says, if you'll go to the prom with me, I'll beat him at this game and maybe he'll stop and start paying attention to you. So she takes the bet and then he of course, he bets $5,000, which is not his money. It's some of the money that's come in for these whatever transactions they're selling, whatever the illegal substances are selling. But he wins and he's going to try to take this girl to the prom. And I won't go into much more detail, but the night of the prom, he has to stop and make another business deal, and it kind of goes awry. So I don't know. I'm not sure where all this is going, but it's a pretty interesting little story. I liked it a lot. I'm ready to see where it's going to go.
Okay.
The artwork was pretty good. It's typical. I would say it's your standard comic book art. You know, it's not heavily rendered, but it's not, abstracted much.
Yeah. Okay. So that was one of them from Scout. What was the other one from Scout?
Jazz Legend.
Oh, you know what? I saw that on the shelf at my LCS, and I picked that up when issue one when it came out to try it out.
Yeah.
So we talked about it. So what were your impressions of Jazz Legend?
I liked it a lot.
I found it hard to follow. I may need to go reread it again.
I read it twice. I kind of agree with you. The writer is J.C. Lachick.
Mm-hmm.
Art by Vasco Duarte.
Yeah. I think what was distracting me was the main character's name was Martin, and I was just having a revulsion.
That's like the one drawback to the book, yeah, is that the protagonist's name is Martin.
Yeah, man, it's whatever.
Martin Comedy, who is a jazz trumpeter for this club called the War Room.
Yes, which was a bunker.
Yeah, it was a former bomb shelter bunker.
Oh, and this one guy, I don't know, criminal or mafia guy or whatever started out, but then his daughter kind of bamboozled him out of it.
He died under, I think, mysterious circumstances.
Yeah.
So, and then she took over. So he's the jazz trumpeter for here, and he's the big draw.
I mean, that's all he's got to do, though, really, right? He could just, I think she pays him enough where he could just play trumpet every night and just do that. But apparently he likes to go out and get into fights and do drugs and drink. And
they also introduced pretty early on a writer named Benjamin Way, who's starting to write this story. It has to do with Martin. He somehow has sensed that there is something supernatural or something strange going on with this character, Martin. And he follows him around. In fact, he gets thrown out of the club because Martin feels like he's pretty much stalking him. But there is something subconsciously eating at Martin, bothering him. And I think that's driving him. That's what I got the impression that I got from the story. That there's something down deep that's driving him to this destructive behavior of fighting and drugs. And, you know, there's this one really bizarre hallucination scene. He takes some kind of a drug towards the end, and he starts hallucinating this landscape that's very, very hellish.
And that's when the robot or whatever it is appears?
Yeah, the thing that he calls Father.
Yeah, I think that's when I started getting confused, but maybe that was the point since he's on drugs and he's hallucinating.
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre. There's no real explanation. It may come in later. Especially I'm curious as to why he's calling this creature Father. The very last page, he kind of wakes up from this hallucination. So we really don't know what's going on here. But I thought it was a damned intelligent book. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to have to go back and reread it. I think, just to do a little sidetrack, you know what I found that I'm doing? So I got my pull list and, I'm getting some stuff from my LCS and I'm getting stuff from Cowabunga. And I'm getting it in and I'm powering through the books to get them read. And I don't know if I'm taking the time to enjoy them or fully absorb them. So I think I'm going to have to take a step back and pace myself as opposed to trying to get them read.
See, that's the only way I can do it, enjoy them, because it takes me, people think I'm incredibly slow, but it takes me 15 to 20 minutes to read a comic book. I know Ronnie plows through them in like 5 minutes, but I have to take the time, because I'm spending most of that time looking at the art and sort of dissecting that, since that's a big interest of mine. Since I've done that, since I've drawn and painted, I kind of look at that.
Yeah, I'm trying to just force myself to spend more time. And actually, if I'm spending money on it, I should get some more enjoyment out of it. You know, we had that discussion before on what's the value of a comic. Are they actually worth $3.99? Are you getting your entertainment value out of them? Or are you're not getting resale value or anything out of them? So you might as well get that.
Now, and that's always there's always a trade-off. Yeah, there's so many books you want to read, and there's more books than you can possibly read. It becomes pretty evident that it's better to read less and get more out of it, to me. Plus, it's just financially better.
Yeah. Okay, but, those are two books from Scout. So what's next on your list of 14? We're down to 12.
Yes, from Dark Horse, Blackwood.
No, not Black Hammer?
No, not Black Hammer. Blackwood from Evan Dorkin and Veronica. We talked about this on the previews a couple months back. Evan Dorkin, he's written, well, the thing I know him best from is Milk and Cheese.
Dairy products gone bad.
Just absolutely brilliant book. Absolutely brilliant work.
You know, I don't think I've ever read any of the Milk and Cheese.
It's a bit cynical and snarky, which is right in my wheelhouse. And he's written other horror type books. Cause this Blackwood is sort of a magical horror type book, or at least that's the way it's starting out to look. And it's very dark. He usually writes very dark stuff. But.
Okay, so what is Blackwood? Refresh.
Okay, Blackwood is the name of a school. It's similar to, you kind of get the impression it's similar to like Hogwarts, although it's much darker.
So there's magic involved.
There's magic involved, yes. This group of kids that are going to the school to get ready to be enrolled into it. One of them is this young girl with short, cropped, white hair and the thick black makeup around her eyes. Her name's Wren. And, of course, she meets up on the bus with all these other students that are going to the school. And, you know, they're going through the orientation. And you're seeing you get several pages of interaction, sort of kind of setting up what kind of personality does he have. Wren is very dark, very morose, somber, and you've got these other characters who are more cheery and cheerful, and they don't get along. But so you see this school, but then they're out, at one point, they're outside, it's the first night there, and the dean of the school comes walking by, and his eyes have been gouged out of his head, and they're not sure what the heck's going on. And they all have this, then, later that night, they all have the same dream, some crazy dream. And then later on, they go back outside and the dean comes by again. And this time he's like kind of, part of him has morphed into this hideous monster, long tentacles. And then something happens at the end of that issue that I'll not spoil in case anybody wants to read it. And this just came out yesterday. So this is,
So it's still, you're still processing it.
Yeah. Well, part of what I focused on this list is stuff I'm reading lately. There's only one book on my list that's more than two issues in. So if people are interested in this, they don't have to worry about it having to do a lot of catch up because these are coming out.
Well, anything else from Dark Horse?
No, that's all from Dark Horse. The next book, I know you're reading this.
Oh.
It's from Titan. It's The Prisoner.
Oh, yes. Yes, I haven't gotten issue two yet. So I've only gotten issue one. I think issue two came out last week.
It did. It is a hell of a good book. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And it's certainly, a lot of it's nostalgia for the TV show.
Loved that show. I read the first issue and I was wondering how they were going to do it. Right?
Right.
mean, it was set in the late '60s, and some of the stuff they pull off on the village you couldn't do with modern technology and all that. But how they did the story about this, the spy, and it's not, well, we were thinking that it was going to be the same character. It's not. It is set like what, 50 years later.
Yes.
And you still got an MI6 spy that wants to retire. Or is he MI6? I can't remember now.
Yeah, he's MI5, I think.
MI5. So. And he's wanting to retire, but, you know, you can't ever retire from that. And you go through it, and he wakes up in the village. And I guess that's what the next five issues are going to be, with him dealing with that. And it's, I'm very much looking to how they translate what they were doing in the 60s to a modern audience, because there was a lot of deep meaning in all the stuff that was happening in the TV series.
Yes. I think they're doing a brilliant job, because, like, well, what gets him into the village is, in this first issue early on, he was on assignment in the Middle East with this woman, another agent, that they'd already started a relationship, and they get found out and they start running. And she suddenly disappears, and he goes in, he gets extracted out of the situation, and they go back to MI5 headquarters, where his boss tells him, you know, that he thinks that she's been captured and taken to the village, which is this, they're not really sure, it's this group that is not tied to any government, not tied to any other, you know, MI5 or CIA or any of this thing. It's its own existing thing.
Yeah, and it's sanctioned by all the other intelligence agencies of all the other countries. I don't know about sanctioned, but they all know about it, they accept it.
It's tolerated, at least. I don't know if they actually sanctioned it. I've never gotten that. But, you know, he makes reference to the TV show in the comic. Like, at one point in the first issue, he said, you know, there's only been one man who's ever escaped from the village. And, of course, he's talking about the character that Patrick McGoohan played in the show. But I think Peter Milligan is writing this. And
is he writing it or just doing the art?
Well, no, Peter Milligan.
He wasn't doing the interior art. That's right. He was doing some of the covers.
Yeah. He's the writer. The artist, main artist, is Colin Lorimar.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're doing a brilliant job of updating it and still staying faithful to the show.
Okay. So, answer me this. Can you follow the book and get the nuances without ever knowing anything about the show?
I think you can. I don't think it's tied enough to the show that you can't. I haven't seen anything, and I read both of the first two issues. I haven't seen anything in there that somebody would look at and say, what the hell is going on? I don't understand this. It certainly, for me, it enhances the reading, having watched the show and been a fan of the show, but it's by no means necessary, I don't think.
Okay. All right, so anything else from Titan other than The Prisoner?
No, not right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, they're mostly like all the Doctor Who stuff, but it makes me wonder if they're going to start converting a lot of the old 60s British TV shows over, because they're doing Doctor Who, now they're doing The Prisoner. What else is there? Was there, like, The Avengers?
The Avengers, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., I think that was a British show.
Was it?
No, I don't know. I can't remember. I'd have to go look. I don't remember what all of those are. That would be cool, because I was a big fan of most of those. And I guess they may be doing that now, since they're not really doing any hard case crime much stuff anymore.
Well, they got a Mickey Spillane something coming out, don't they?
Yeah, that'll be out, I think here in June.
Yeah, I am missing the hard case crime.
Yeah, I really enjoyed those. Those are some of the better things.
All right, so what's next on your list?
Aftershock.
Ooh, Aftershock. You know, my LCS just got me the Shock hardcover anthology this week. Apparently they've had it for a couple of weeks and they just forgotten to give it to me or whatever.
That's funny.
So.
Oh, sorry, we had this. We forgot about it.
I forgot to give it to you. Here you go. It's a $35 book that's just sitting in inventory.
Damn.
But anyway, so what's impressed you with from Aftershock recently?
A Walk Through Hell?
Oh, yes. I got that issue. I actually got the all black cover issue.
I did too. That was my favorite cover. I loved that cover.
Oh, apparently it's pretty popular. It's going for like double or triple or quadruple price on eBay now for cover.
Wow.
Very popular. Everybody loves a black cover because they're so hard to keep in good shape. But yeah, that was an interesting book.
Yeah, it really was. Did you listen to the Aftershock Central podcast? Really
yes. Ronnie didn't care for the first part of it and everything like that, but I thought it was a good setup and little kind of background on stuff because I think this is going to be a little bit more psychological, and I think you had to kind of get some of the mindset and the life philosophy of our protagonist, you know, kind of going first before you can delve into this, because this looks like it's going to be pretty intense for them.
I agree. It does. I've heard other people say the same thing, that it's like, well, the story really didn't start until the last five pages. And I don't agree with that, because I trust Garth Ennis enough to pretty much believe he would not write 15 pages of fluff just to fill up space, you know, that they're not going to figure into the story.
Yeah, there's a reason for it.
I think everything that's in this issue is going to come back at some point, you know, but the shootings at the mall to begin with, and how these characters are. I think it's all going to come back and tie in. So,
yeah. So I'm a big Garth Ennis fan. So I'm looking forward to how this goes. And the first issue was great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
All right. Any more Aftershock?
Yes.
Oh, yay!
Her Infernal Descent.
I've read the first issue. I haven't got the second issue yet.
Second issue is pretty intense. It's just like the first issue is.
Yeah, well, that's one of the ones I'm getting from online.
Cowabunga.
Yeah, Cowabunga. So I get my books every other week. So
right.
It's one of those. So I'm hopefully it's going to be showing up here in the next few days. But yeah, the first issue was great. I had to read it a couple of times because it's with the prose and the rhyming. You know, you kind of got to get yourself into that mental.
It's a
mental.
Really, it is not a simple story. It's a very deep story. It's written by Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson.
Yeah, and I know Martin interviewed them. They were talking about like how the panel layout and how, you know, it's got meaning, and the number of panels has meaning, and all this other stuff. So I was, I think I was trying to read too much into it the first time. I think you need to read through it. And then the second time, kind of go through and pay attention to the details and how it all interacts.
Yes. And for anyone who has not heard of this book, the premise is it's really structured on the story of Dante's Inferno. This woman, it starts out, this woman is living here in her house, kind of in squalor, and she's packing to move. And we learn pretty early on that something has taken, she's lost her husband and children. Recently, all at one time, whether it's some accident, I think it was a car accident. And of course, she's just in all kinds of depths of grief. And she goes up into the attic and sees the spirit of William Blake, the poet William Blake, who says, if you will accompany me in a visit to hell, you can see your family.
And doesn't he offer that she may be able to save them?
Yes. If you know Dante's Inferno, there's circles of hell, first circle, second, third on down, where a different kind of group of sinners is on each circle. And in the first issue, they go to what's limbo. And there they meet with all these famous, a lot of poets and musicians, you know, Aristotle, Plato, Ovid, and Jimi Hendrix, and, who they all become very angry at her because she doesn't remember them and doesn't revere and worship them for, you know, their genius contributions. And they cast her down to the second level, where she has to face the judge, who in this case, in this work, is Franz Kafka. They're putting a lot of literary characters in this book, and Kafka is the judge. He determines what circle of hell the sinners go to. And in the second issue is her interaction with him.
Yes.
And then at the end of that, we see another famous literary character introduced. I'll not say who it is, but...
Well, I've already listened to the Aftershock Central podcast, so
okay,
I know who it is, but if you don't want our listeners to know...
Well, I'll leave it then. I'll leave it as a non-spoiler.
Yeah, so well, if you want to get spoiled, go listen to the Aftershock Central podcast.
Yeah, because they don't care about, you know, doing spoilers.
Well, well they're, that's the point. So they're giving you the warning. So, all right. So there's two Aftershock books. Is there a third Aftershock book?
There is, and this is another free comic book day. It's issue zero, Relay.
Yes, I read Relay. That was so good. I don't think I quite understand everything, but it was a great
I know
reading.
I don't. Okay. In reading through this, did you have... Did it remind you of any of 2001, A Space Odyssey?
Only from the shape of the relay.
Yeah, and they called it, at one point he called it the monolith.
Yeah, and that's the only reason why, because when they started referring to it as the monolith, that's instantly going to make you think of 2001.
Right, I think that was probably intentional.
But, you know, it's, you know, there's already intelligence there. There's already a society there. And the monolith here is way bigger. Well, I take that back. If you go,
no, it is. It's
well, the monolith they found on the moon. When you
right.
If you go to 20, if you from 2010,
well, true.
The monoliths get much bigger and much more numerous, so they could be the size of in this. But it seemed also weren't the monoliths kind of almost a slightly different for every at the end when you saw them on different planets, weren't they all kind of slightly different? They kind of fit into the architecture of the the planet or something?
I think so, yeah.
But, I mean, my main thing from reading Relay was in order for the guy there prepping stuff had to almost convert the local population from a faith-based society to a science-based society.
Right. Yeah, they're very much, you know, at the beginning, God, you know, worship, like sun worshipers, and he teaches them how to farm, how to do agriculture, and, you know, how to build dams, and, you know, how to control nature instead of just praying to gods that we have, you know, instead of praying to gods that we have rain. He goes, no, we'll dam off this river, and that's where you'll get water to irrigate your crops.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
but,
you're right.
But I don't understand towards the end, though, what caused the conflict, other than the leader feeling they had abandoned their god or something?
Well, yes, and then he... that was... Yeah, I mean...
That's the only part of that zero issue I didn't quite get, is what led to the conflict towards the end.
Right.
So,
I'm not sure either. I have to go back and reread it.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks since I've read it. But no, the art was great. And you know what? That's how a free comic should be on Free Comic Book Day.
Absolutely. So many of them are...
They're just ads. They're like, and they're, you know, like 16 pages and they're nothing but ads. And it's like... And, you know, the LCS has got to buy them to give them away. It's like, who's going to pick up that? You know,
yeah.
If you got this here comic, and I mean, it's a comic. It's a, you know, it's pretty thick too.
What's the same way with that book, The Mall from Scout? That zero, it's a full comic. It's setting up the narrative for this story.
So
it's not just
So all you other comic book publishers out there, take some notes from Scout and Aftershock. Put out a comic.
Right. Something that's going to make somebody come back, want to come back and buy this stuff.
So, all right.
Don't worry about it.
So, three Aftershock. Oh, wow. They take up 25% of, no, not 25%, maybe 20% of your list. Unless you've got more. You got more?
Nope, that's it. That's all for Aftershock.
Okay.
That had on my list. Now, and now you're going to prepare to be shocked, and people who regularly listen to this are going to be shocked. I have three titles from Black Mask that I'm reading.
Oh, three.
Oh,
man, Black Mask. Well, Kim and Kim, the second whatever volume or arc of that you're getting, right?
No, it hadn't started yet.
It hasn't started yet.
Yeah, I will be getting it, but it hasn't come out yet. I think it's not until July. Late June or July, early July, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are you reading from Black Mask? What's the first one?
Come Into Me.
I think I've heard Martin talking about that. I've seen it. I haven't picked it up.
It is a really bizarre, strange book.
Is it coming out on time?
The first two have, yes.
Ooh, but it's not a two-issue series, though, right?
No, it's a four-issue, I believe.
Oh, so you may get the second half here in another year or so?
No, I'm hoping I've got... This is another Zach Thompson book, so I'm hoping that they're going to be Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson.
Is he one of the few that actually does stuff on time for them?
Well, I don't know if he's done anything else for him, but he's done other things.
Okay.
I'm kind of going to... I've learned after hearing that interview with Mags Visaggio that she did on the Comics Alternative podcast,
mm-hmm.
have learned that it's not so much Black Mask itself that's the reason a lot of these... is that they leave everything to the creators. They don't have any deadlines for them. They don't really do much of an editorial.
I've learned with most things creative or in life, if you don't have a deadline, it just gets put off.
Exactly. And then, of course, some of the creators that write for Black Mask have books that they're writing for Marvel or DC. And, of course, you know who's going to get first priority because that's where you're going to get paid more. They're going to get better, probably get some kind of benefits with contracts with Marvel or DC's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a really, really bizarre book. It's the protagonist of this is a guy named Sebastian Quinn, who is kind of a late middle-aged guy, overweight, and he's developed this process called in-being, which is a sort of a hybrid biological mechanical process that allows two people to share consciousness. In other words, they're living inside of each other's minds.
Whose mind? I mean, is it two bodies?
No, it's two bodies, but they're linked mentally. So that they're essentially they become one mind.
In which body?
Both and neither.
Oh, you see, that's where I'm confused.
Well, it's not. You are overly literal on things sometimes. I'm starting to learn that.
Well, the consciousness has got to be somewhere, right? It's not. It's got to be in one body or the other, or is it in some mainframe somewhere?
Well, if you read the first issue, you'll find out specifically whose body, but I won't say that.
So you're going to have to make me go buy the issue. I wonder if it'll be on Hoopla. No, I don't think Black Mask is on Hoopla, so.
Probably not.
Maybe I'll wait for the trade. And that way I can read the whole thing through.
Yeah, I think this is probably, most stuff Black Mask does is four or six issues at most. I don't think they do.
But anyway, so you're liking it. So there's a shared consciousness.
Yeah, but you really learn about this character, especially in the first issue. He's developed this process called in-being, but he's had problems with it. They're still kind of in the development phase. But this woman comes in, just out of the blue, comes into his facilities wanting to experience this in-being. Well, they usually only do it if for these people that volunteer, they have to bring a partner in. So, 'cause you have to have two people for this. Well, she comes in by herself. And they try to send her away, and she ends up talking to Sebastian, and she's trying to convince him. Initially, his thoughts on this is that this process will be used for medical, psychological health reasons. She's saying, no, you need to commercialize this. You know, this is like the next level of social media or social interaction, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But she's insistent on wanting to experience this, and he finally agrees to do it with her. The two of them will experience this sharing. And it's a real profound experience for him. And in part of this, you start learning his background. He's a very sickly child, had a lot of health problems, and you get backstory on kind of what his motivation for all this is. But it goes terribly wrong on the last two pages of the first issue. Something significant happens that will answer your question, whose body? If and when you read it. But it's really, really well done. really well written. It's the kind of book that makes you ponder things. The artwork is good. It's kind of, I don't want to say that. I was about to say it reminded me of a little bit of Juan José Reap. If you take all of the extraneous detail out of Juan José Reap's art. But that's probably not true. That's probably not a, that's a bad description. So
there you go. All right. So what's your second Black Mask?
This was the first issue that just came out yesterday called We Are the Danger.
Okay. I haven't heard. Nope. Not ringing a bell with me. So you're going to have
to. It's created by and written by Fabian Lele. Written and drawn. Colorist is Claudia Aguirre. This first issue, it almost sounds like it's reading like a young adult book because it's concerning this young girl, a teenage girl who's invited. She's a new girl in school, just moved to this area, the new girl in high school. She's made one friend who's invited her to this club, but she gets there and the girl's not there. Well, it turns out this girl that invited her is in the band that's about to perform. And, you know, she thinks, oh, she's really impressed with this.
Oh,
and then after the concert, we get kind of a little bit of background as to this girl's story. She's Filipino heritage, but she really is impressed with this girl that's in the band. Well, afterwards, the girl, I think her name is Stephanie, she has a fight with the leader of the band and quits. And we come to find out later that, you know, the main character, the protagonist, she's also a guitar player. So they end up starting another band, get people together. And, of course, the leader of the first band finds out about this, and she's angry, and you can see the conflict going.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, on the first read, on the level, it looks like it's going to be, it looks like more like a young adult, not a very deep or serious story, but I don't know. Black Mask doesn't do that. They don't do a lot of lightweight stuff, so I'm at least going to go through issue two on it, see how that goes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have much to say on the Black Mask stuff, because the only thing I've been getting is Cal Exit, and my LCS missed issue 3, and so I'm still trying to hunt it down. What's your third Black Mask book?
Survival Fetish.
Okay, I don't think I paid attention to that either. Did we talk about this in one of the previews?
I don't.
Sessions?
I can't remember if we talked about it or not. It didn't ring a bell with me.
But you picked up anyway.
Yep, I did. Martin talked about it on one of his CTT. I think that's what prompted me to pick it up. But this is a black and white comic, monochrome. Mm-hmm. So that will appeal to some people, not appeal to others. But this is a story. The main character in this is a young guy named Sahir. And this is in Honolulu, set sometime in the future. And the city has pretty much been divided up between organized crime gangs and militia. And sniping has become a sport, especially in this one part of town. Yeah. No, I mean, people walking down the street, it opens up a scene of these two women walking along. One of them's got pushing a baby carriage, and they're just walking along, and then all of a sudden, shots ring out. One of them gets, you know, riddled with bullets. And then it cuts to this character, Sahir, who is, he's a runner. And what that means is that because of this area where all the snipers, people can't move from one area to the other, and they can't bring supplies, food, and all this other stuff in and out. So there's these people that take these jobs as runners to move, get stuff available to people. We learned early on that he has this girlfriend whose parents run a refuge. That they provide food. They grow food for people, offer free medical services, and he runs medical supplies for them.
Well, if everybody, you know what I don't get though is if everybody knows this, and why were those two women just walking down the street with a baby carriage?
Well, I wasn't really answered either. So,
the logic befuddles me, but it's a good read.
It's a good read, yeah. At the end of the first issue, we learn a twist that is kind of shocking because he actually goes and visits one of the snipers that tried to shoot him earlier. So.
Oh, okay.
And the second issue just came out this week, I think. Yeah. So it's only two issues in, but it's a pretty good read. And this is another one. The first two issues have come out on time. Patrick Kinlan is writing and Antonio Fuso is the artist.
Well, maybe they're finally getting creators that care on getting their stuff out.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
All right, so that's your three from Black Mask. What's next?
I have four titles from Image that I'm reading.
Ooh, Image.
Yeah, we don't talk much Image on here.
No, we don't. But I've actually been reading quite a bit of Image myself, some. So what's yours?
First one I picked up is Barrier.
I did not get that. I thought about it.
The first issue is a five issue. It came out weekly. So it's the last issue was supposed to come out yesterday, but my LCS didn't get it. But the things that intrigued me about this was the story looked interesting. And plus it's in landscape format.
See, I think that's why I didn't get it. I didn't know how well I'd like reading something in landscape.
Well, originally this was a digital. This is a kind of a re-release. This was originally released as a digital only. And it's written by Brian K. Vaughan and Marcos Martin, which, you know, I'm very hit and miss on Vaughan.
I like most of the stuff he's put out, so this is actually kind of against the grain for me on not getting any of his stuff.
Well, the thing about this, it's there's two main protagonists. It starts out with a woman who's in South Texas, on a ranch in South Texas. The other guy is a guy who's a Honduran. He's trying to get to the United States. And I guess the premise, if you were to look at the premise of this, trying to state it succinctly, you know all the stories about the urban legends about animals that get mutilated, you know, that's done by aliens or chupacabras.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of the premise of this book is, what if that was true? And so you have this woman from South Texas, Liddy, and this guy from Honduras who's trying to, he's bought his way to the United States. And he's been traveling to the United States. And they get thrown together in an alien abduction situation. Now, what's going to keep a lot of people from liking this book, I think, is that about half of the dialogue is in Spanish.
Does it got subtitles?
No, it doesn't. So you either have to know Spanish, or you have to just try to intuit the dialogue is saying, or you go to Google Translate.
Yeah,
I know just enough Spanish to be able to get through it. But people who don't, I can see this is a lot of people getting frustrated with this and not reading it because of that.
Yeah, I can see
but
that.
But it makes sense in a way because in the book, there's a language barrier. He doesn't speak any English. Liddy doesn't speak any Spanish. So they're together. They're trying to communicate, and they can't. So it sort of, the way that it's written sort of reflects that. You know, you get the same sense of frustration that they do, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to keep people interested. And so far, the story's been okay, but it's not been that compelling.
Sounds like a Hoopla read for me.
Yeah, I don't know if I really don't know if I could recommend this book based on those things that I've talked about.
But you're still getting it and you're reading it, though.
Yeah, I am. So it's spending, not, I don't
you're
dislike
spending
it.
Money on, you're spending money on something that you're not getting full enjoyment out of?
Well, you know, if this was coming out monthly, I probably would have stopped it. But it was like, the first issue was free on Free Comic Book Day, so I'm only really paying for four of the five issues. So I just decided to go ahead and stay with it.
You're a completionist.
No, I am not a completionist. I wanted to finish that one. But yeah, I would be reluctant to recommend this to people based on what I'm saying, because unless you're someone who has to read everything that Vaughan writes, and you know Spanish, or you like
and you're like reading landscape.
That's not that bad. It really is not.
How do you hold the book? How do you hold it?
You hold it. The book's actually
oversized too.
It's a little slightly from as far as width. It's slightly less wide than a regular comic book, and probably about an inch taller. I wouldn't really call it oversized. It's just oddly shaped.
So is that back like in the old days they called Panavision?
I don't know. Now, that's another thing that some people are not going to like. If you're wanting to bag and board this and put it in your long box, no, it's not going to work. There's no bags and boards that'll fit this. So,
see, my OCD can't handle that.
I didn't figure it would. So that's another drawback. You know, it's like you have to devise your own bagging system for this book.
All right. Okay, so what's your next image title?
Flavor. I was not planning on picking.
Is that from the author of Chew?
No, maybe it's not.
I'm thinking about The Farm, where the guy.
Yeah, The Farm. Yeah, right.
The guy's
right.
Growing organs, or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one from the author of Chew.
All right. So what's Flavor? That has something to do with like dueling chefs.
Yeah, this is an interesting book. Actually, I was not planning on picking this up at all, but I did. Just kind of on a whim. This is the first comic book that I know of that has a culinary advisor attached with it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something like Scratch and Sniff.
No. No. It's written by Joseph Keating, and Wook Jen Clark is the artist. But yeah, there's this person, Ali Muzari, culinary consultant. The artwork on this is kind of, I would say, somewhat manga influenced. It looks very, I wouldn't say it's not manga straight out, but you can tell the artist had some influence with manga. And it starts out this young girl is, in the first of it, she's racing on a cart with her dog to try to get to the truffles, because the truffles have just come in. And this is like a setting, it seems very like an old European city, and she gets thwarted by some bully that throws chili peppers in her eyes.
Culinary wars.
Yes. And then we find out she's going to the train to see a cousin of hers because her parents have gotten ill and are actually in wheelchairs, and they can't run the family restaurant anymore. Well, she's been taking over the cooking, but she's underage and cannot legally do this. So they call in a cousin to come in and help out. So he's kind of been put in charge of helping run this restaurant for this probationary period. And she's not for this at all. She thinks, I can do everything myself. But we start to see their interaction. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the first issue. I really did not think this would be something I liked.
So what's the plot? What's the story? What's the part that?
Well, it hasn't really developed.
Makes you want to come back for issue two.
It's not really the plot as much as the characters. I like the character development in this. I like to see what's going to happen because we've now they set up that this family member has come in. Help run the business. Well, we know there's going to be some kind of conflict going on. I don't think this character that appeared early on that threw the peppers in her eyes, he got arrested, but I think he's going to be back in some way. So.
Okay, so Flavor's the second. So what's your third image?
I mean, Ronnie liked this book a lot. That's surprising to me. This is not a book that I would put in Ronnie's wheelhouse. So, if that is a testament of any sort.
Okay. So what's next on your list?
Death or Glory.
Oh, that's the new Remender title.
The new Remender book, yes.
I thought about getting that. It's still sitting at my LCS, and I I've had a bunch of stuff come in, so I keep passing it over because it's like, ooh, I'm kind of at my budgetary limit for the week.
Right.
But I like Mason Remender.
This is a pretty interesting story starting out. I think this first issue is a little bit oversized as far as there's extra content in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts out this weird scene. It's in a burger joint at night, but near closing time. And this man comes in carrying a valise of some sort. Comes in and orders 123 cheeseburgers. And the only people in this place are one worker and one patron who's eating burgers. And of course, this guy that's working there says, you know, this is nuts. You can't do 120. It's time for closing and you want 123 cheeseburgers. That's just not going to happen. Well, he ends up killing both these people, the patron and the employee, with liquid nitrogen. Freezes their limbs off. And of course, there's a police investigation. Then it shifts to another scene where this young woman named Glory Owens, who's working on this souped up car with armor plating type stuff. And we see the story on her. She had lost her parents, or her parents were absent or something. She was more or less raised by a friend, this man named Red, who is now dying of kidney failure. No insurance, no medical resources whatsoever. And she decides to steal money from a local underworld character named Korean Joe so she can pay for a kidney for this dying friend, Red. And this character, Korean Joe, has pretty much everybody in town under his thumb, including the law enforcement agency. And there's this scene where the sheriff or one of the police officers, he and an underling are taking this valise full of money somewhere on a transaction, and she chases them down, wrecks their car with her car, has several things go wrong, ends up the police officer, her mask that she wore comes off, and he recognizes who she is, and we see the guy, and then she runs into that guy from the first scene with the liquid nitrogen. She attacks him, and the liquid nitrogen ruptures, and it accidentally freezes the valise full of money, which the money's now ruined because it just shatters. It freezes and it shatters. And she runs in because she gets chased by the sheriff again and steals a tractor trailer rig and starts driving off. And she hears noises in the back and she opens it up and there's people back there. Some sort of human trafficking is going on. And that's the end of the first issue. And that's the only one issue that's come out. I think the second issue is out next week, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot going on and the situation's being set up.
There was a lot in this first issue. It's, like I said, it's one of those that probably needs two reads to really get it.
No, I'm going to have to go pick it up.
I'm going to stick with it for a while, at least for the issue two, because it was done well enough. And Remender, I trust Remender. I like pretty much.
Oh, yeah, I'm reading his Black Science, and he was doing Low, which hasn't been out in a while, which I was really enjoying that. I read the first little bit of Deadly Class, but I never did stick with that. So, but I've mostly liked the stuff he's been putting out at Image, but he's doing quite a bit.
And the artwork is good. It's by an artist I've not heard of before. It just goes by one name, Bengal, I think. Spelled same as the tiger, the type of tiger, the breed of tiger.
So, all right, that's some good stuff.
Yeah, I found it a worthy read.
Okay, what else?
This is the last book on my list here. So.
Oh, is it?
Yep, this is number 14. We've gone through all 14. Analog.
Oh, yes, I'm getting that. That's so good. Just because the first part of the story takes place in St. Louis.
Yes. Yeah, there's a line in here that goes, I'm not going to, because I don't want to die in St. Louis.
But yeah, that's a good read where, I guess it's set in the near future where.
2024.
Yeah, where basically somehow privacy has been turned off if you use anything digital.
Yeah, some event, they call it the doxing, D-O-X-X-I-N-G, that essentially crashed all of the cloud and destroyed all electronic privacy. All of it.
Yeah, so everybody knows everything about everybody Is that how? I'm still trying to grasp my head around exactly what the doxing means.
You know, it's...
Does it mean everything's public information, or you can't encrypt anything, or anything that's digitized everybody has access to?
More or less, yeah.
I know it's a bad thing.
They don't
thing,
give all the technical detail.
But I've yet to wrap my head around the full consequences of what they're describing, or how to picture what they're describing in it.
Well, I guess, you know, just imagine me being able to go out and look at your bank account, you know.
I guess, but so the protagonist is set up as he's, what do they call them? They're not runners.
No, I forgot what it's called.
But basically, they move physical copies of paper around. They went analog, and that's how secrets are shared, or confidentiality or privacy is. You write it on a piece of paper, and these guys transport it from one location to another because you can't send it electronically.
Exactly. And, of course, this is a very dangerous thing because a lot of this stuff is, you know, information that a lot of people want. So he gets shot at and...
Well, he's ex-NSA, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then you kind of find out a little bit later in the book that he's the one that caused all this.
Yeah. He goes through this one transaction at St. Louis, and then he finds out he's got another job in Tokyo. And then he gets this postcard from his father, who he's somewhat estranged from. And he goes to visit his father, and he finds out that the dad did not send that postcard.
Yeah, it seems like he's estranged from his father, but his father's not estranged from him.
Yeah.
Did that seem to kind of be the interaction there? It's a one-way estrangement.
More or less. So, yeah, we're starting, and then the second issue, we find out more about...
Yeah, a little bit more what's going on.
He is definitely involved somehow with this doxing. Yeah, he's culpable in some way, to some degree, for what's happened.
So, but yeah, it's an intriguing world and it's an intriguing situation. So I'm actually
Jerry Dugan is the writer.
We're only two issues in, correct?
Yeah, only two issues in on this.
But I like Analog. I'm going to read it. Keep up with it.
And that is, I mean, I limited this to just stuff I haven't talked about before. I'm still reading, of course. Things like Jazz Maynard when it comes out. Yeah. And
well, I'm just sitting here taking, let's see, what going through my pile of stuff here. Wow. Haven't run into too much independent yet. I'm enjoying some stuff from Vault. I read last month, I think, Deep Roots.
I want to read that. I can't find the first issue.
That was pretty interesting. I don't know about animated vegetable people, but the premise is pretty good in that Mother Earth and nature and vegetation is now rebelling against mankind because, I mean, that's kind of an old cliche, I guess, but it's kind of rebelling against mankind for all the crap they've been doing to the planet and everything. So that's, I mean, I'm liking everything from Vault right now. I mean,
I want to read that. I just haven't been able to find the first issue. I was going to email Eric at Cowabunga, see if he can get me that issue.
I actually ordered the second print comes out next week, and it is
okay.
But the second print is an homage to the, I think the second or the third issue of Swamp Thing by Barry Wrightson, was that his first name? It's an homage to a Wrightson Swamp Thing cover. So I'd almost go and get that second print that's coming out because this.
Yeah,
just
I didn't know they were doing a second print.
And well, I think they're starting to do homages to classic because isn't Wasted Space doing an homage to Action Comics number one?
Yes, I want that cover.
I think, and so that's occurring on two books. So I think Vault may be sitting there going to start doing covers based on Bronze Age that's Golden Age there, but on classic covers from other publishers. So you got that Swamp Thing cover. You're going to have that Action Comics cover. There's probably going to be some more. So I think I'm going to start looking at Vault for those. So not only am I liking the stories, but getting some covers like that actually adds some incentive to it. but
absolutely.
You know, Vault Songs of the Dead is pretty good. But Deep Roots is great. I'm really wishing they could put out some more Heathen, but you know, they seem to have flip-flopped with Black Mask now, and they come, well, Deep Roots seems to be kind of on schedule. We'll see. But let's see. I got that. Is there anything else here?
I think there's some that are starting, and I'm going to get. I haven't started yet.
There's Port of Earth from Image that I'm really liking. Oh, Reactor from Vault by Donny Cates. That's actually been pretty interesting.
I was wanting to read that, and then I found out that this is actually the volume 2, and I haven't read the first one, and I kind of...
Well,
like,
if this is volume 2, I haven't read volume 1 then.
I may be wrong. I was thinking this was the second series.
Issue 3 just, well, maybe. So, yeah, there is Songs of the Dead issue 2. This came out last month, so it's some good stuff. Got some Catalyst Prime there. So, I don't know. I've just been doing a lot of Vault and a lot of Lion's Forge.
Yeah.
And then I got that Jazz Legend, like you're talking about with Scout. And I got to track down the last issue of Heavenly Blues.
If you can't find it, I know. I'm pretty sure.
I can order it straight from the website.
Well, that's true.
So if I need to. So. Let's see. Here's another stack. Like I said, I got stuff all over the place. There's Analog.
I thought this was coming out later, but their website says Vagrant Queen. It was on sale on the 30th.
Yeah, I think that came out, so that's going to be interesting.
I've got to get that. That's a Mags Beside You.
Yeah, I'm getting all that from Cowabunga.
Well, I didn't get the early enough. I didn't get started early enough to order that from them.
Yeah, they do a nice package. Well, no, they don't do it for Vault. They do it for Aftershock. So you can just click on and you can just get all the Aftershock together. Oh, how'd you like the conclusion of Ghost Money?
Interesting. I'm not. I have to go back and read it again. I may go back and read all 10 issues.
Just straight
together.
Through? Because there was a lot of political intrigue in there. And it's kind of hard to keep up with a lot of all the characters and all the stuff moving around.
Yeah, and it didn't... it came out pretty regularly, but it wasn't every month, once a month. There were some gaps in there.
It was more like 6 weeks, it felt like.
Yeah. So I kind of read it one at a time, and I lost track. It just sort of, the story wasn't as cohesive. So I need to go back and reread it.
But the artwork was top notch all the way.
Oh, it was top notch. And everything, I have not read one of those Magnetic Collection books yet that I didn't like.
Yeah, I've got, what's that book,
Aberrato.
I have that queued up in my Hoopla to read the first trade in that. So I think that's the only one from their Magnetic Collection that I haven't gotten to. But some great stuff being put out there.
Yep.
So.
Nothing new. I was looking about their Magnet. I don't see anything new coming out anytime soon.
Yeah, so... Ghost Money ended. I don't know if Aberratio is ended or not. Jazz Maynard Volume 2 is kind of halfway through, and I think there's going to be a Volume 3, and you get the Barcelona Trilogy that way, and I don't know if there's going to be any more after that, but I'm going to be so sad when that ends. And another 7 or 8 issues.
Yeah, that's still one of the top books out there for me.
But yeah, I'm like looking through my list, and I didn't find too many indies in there, but I think I've switched over to a bunch. Well, a lot of my stuff in there is like stuff we've already talked about. So, you know, I'm got, you know, issue 6 of The Realm just came out. And so that seems kind of, I'm sticking with it. It's gotten more interesting now. It kind of got lulled down and then it's picked back up, but I'm enjoying reading The Realm, which is, you know, another post-apocalyptic. But I like the art, and it's a different I don't know. It's almost like a forced, you know, a post-apocalyptic where the world's kind of gone into a Dungeons and Dragons kind of setting.
Right.
So it's a little different take on it. But I don't know. I'm finding now that I'm kind of gravitating towards books that have a more of a science fiction kind of setting.
Yes.
I'm getting now the capes and the cows and the science fiction and maybe a little bit more fantasy.
Well, that's good. I mean, people have... It goes in cycles. Sometimes, you know...
Well, I'm also liking these books. They have 6-issue arcs, or they have 4-issue stories. And, you know, they don't have to go for 80 years just keeping on continuity going and coming up with stuff. I mean, they have stories where you have a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Right.
And I'm kind of, you know, you're sad for it to end, but it's kind of nice to have a cohesiveness that brings.
I don't know. I like miniseries. Sometimes things go on and you just sort of lose interest or they start to lose coherency, cohesiveness, but...
Well, they get so much history in them, it's hard to bring in new readers, and then it gets convoluted and you got to keep up with everything and all the details, and we all know people like continuity.
Yes. Some people like it too much. I wasn't going to mention this, but I also picked up this week issue 24 of Weird Love, which is a book I really enjoy.
I think you've talked about that one before.
Yeah, it's under the imprint Yo Books, which is part of IDW. Craig Yo.
Yes.
Craig Yo, he's a historian, knows a lot really about comic books, especially the Golden and Silver Age. And he puts together these anthologies. These books are stories from comic books from probably the early 50s to around 1960. And these are all strange, bizarre, romantic stories. Like the one story in here, this issue is called Phantom Lover. Dancing Shame has another story. Some of the past issues there were stories like I Joined a Teenage Sex Club. Stuff that was really considered risque in its day. And it's typical, Silver Age type comic books. And he prints them, it's not newsprint, but he prints them on a matte paper, not the glossy paper.
Yeah.
So you get the sense of the old newsprint, but it's not newsprint.
No, you get the detail of the nice paper, but the feel of the,
yeah,
the look of the old.
The look of the old newsprint. Gang Girl, that's another story.
Because you don't have the inks kind of smearing or being absorbed into the paper.
Right.
Of course, I do miss I do miss newsprint.
Oh, God, I do. I wish somebody... The Alterna stuff has been okay, but most of that, they're not getting the best creators. And I can understand why, because of the pricing. You know, they're not probably can't pay. But a lot of the stories have just not been overall. Scrimshaw, I think, is the only one I really liked.
Yeah, I liked the first three issues of that I read. I haven't read anything past those three issues.
Some of the others, they've been marginal at best, but I wish somebody, a major publisher or a major indie that's getting good creators would go back to newsprint.
Yeah.
Oh, getting off of indies for a moment, I told myself I was not going to do this, and I caved
in.
Did
you get the gold? Did you get the Batman Golden Age Omnibus?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I should. No, this is. I got issue one of Man of Steel.
Oh.
In this book, I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But
I got okay, it. I read it. So you can offer an opinion.
I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
I just got it yesterday, so I haven't. I had other.
Well, at least it wasn't an $8.99 book.
That's true.
You could have got like Amazing Spider-Man 800, which was a $9.99 book.
That is true.
Because it was issue 800.
No, I waffled back and forth on getting that Batman Omnibus number 6. It's a 50% off for Cowabunga.
Yeah, I know.
So at some point, I will probably regret not getting it.
It's a good.
Yeah.
Well, you could. Oh, all you gotta do is send him an email.
Yeah, I might can do that.
Might but what are you going to do with a Batman Golden Age omnibus?
I will read those things. I like reading the Golden Age stuff.
Oh, fun stuff, fun stuff.
And the thing about it is, having it would be just to have it. I can read it. I'm pretty sure they're on Hoopla, and I know I can get them on Comixology. They put them on sales.
I don't know if they're on Hoopla or not. Hoopla's kind of more contemporary.
I'd have to look. But, you know, and they are, you can get them on Comixology, and Comixology puts deep sales on at times. So I don't know.
Just nothing current.
Well, no, that's true. And some publishers never put anything on sale. Like Black Mask never has done a sale to my knowledge.
Yeah. No, I did acquire something new for my collection. So I actually recently acquired, I don't know what you would call it. It's a comic in a novelized form. So I ended up getting The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh.
It's a $2.50. It's the size of a paperback, but if you open it up, it's got the artwork that ended up being in the comics from issue 40 through 46, I think. But Yoda appears very different than what he appears in the comics that eventually came out. And this actually predates the magazine and predates the comics. So this is actually, this paperback came out first, so it is actually the first appearance of Boba Fett and Lando Calrissian, but not Yoda, since Yoda is different in this book than he ends up being later. But it just is, it's amazing. I've never run into another comic that's kind of like The Empire Strikes Back. So there was the comics that came, the floppies that came out, but it came out in magazine format before the floppies, and apparently then it came out in this paperback version before it came out in the magazine version. So I guess that had to do with all the licensing and everything back in the day. I think we've gone on for quite a bit tonight, so maybe we kind of want to wrap this up. I guess you can get a hold of me at Ootinger on Twitter. I'm actually starting to pay attention more to that. I'm getting the notifications and hopping on there and seeing some stuff. I don't quite know what I'm doing on there yet, but I can actually read my
tweets. Wow. Shocking.
Gotta take baby steps. Gotta take baby steps.
Yeah, I know. We'll get you there. We'll get you there.
And you're at Jay Forgets.
At Jay Forgets, yes. The show, you can tweet directly at BOTR Comics.
And I think that's gonna be a wrap.